in association with AnnaValleyShook.com, it's the Ghost Show, the original LSU podcast. Very somber, very subdued. I feel like LSU failed Saturday. Patrick Morris hanging out with me somewhere on the interstate. I'm Kerry Muntz. Hey, Patrick.
Wah, wah. That sums it up for Saturday.
Podcast pushing buttons behind the scenes. We call him the Cajun Billy Dee Williams or the Pierrepoint Pimp. Many, 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 many things. We are the Go Show. Ways to get in touch with the show. Download us to your smartphone device free via iTunes. Visit our partner site, AnnaValleyShook.com, part of SB Nation. And find the show. You can find the show posted there every week. And you can do a couple of things. You can follow the site on Twitter at ValleyShook. You can follow the show and or me or Patrick. I'm at Go Show Carrie. Patrick is at Cat Godfather. I'll speak for Patrick tonight.
And, thank you much. Hey, you know, I did retweet something this week.
I saw that. You actively hit a button and actually retweeted something.
I did. I will never catch up to our executive producer here, but I did retweet something.
Good for you. Good for you. So 30-16. Not in LSU's favor. Dominated in every which way possible a team can be dominated. It may as well have just been 42-6. It was. I don't even know how the hell we were within 14 points. I really don't. Patrick, it was ugly.
Oh, it was damn
it was
ugly.
Ugly. It was disappointing. It's upsetting.
I think it's more disappointing than anything.
Very disappointing.
That we just laid such an egg.
Yeah, it was. And I'm starting a movement right now. Right now.
Right now.
Screw the bye week before Alabama. It does
I'd rather
not
play
help.
Football. You are absolutely
it
correct.
It does not freaking help. It gives we are how many analogies do you want? We are Henry Winkler to Jerry Reed and the Waterboy. We have a phobia about playing Alabama. I'm convinced this is at least 60-70% mental. They are the Yankees. We are Pedro Martinez.
They own us right now.
Dude, it is. I mean, look. I called our boy Eric last week nuts for saying they were going to win by two touchdowns. Guess what? They won by two fucking touchdowns. Excuse my language. I'm
edit
sorry.
That out, podcast.
They won by two touchdowns. He said Fournette might get 100 yards on 30 carries. We barely snapped the ball 30 times, 47 to be exact. Yeah. Didn't try anything special.
No, Darius and that's Geis. What's disappointing. That was the disappointing part of the game for me, was the fact that you knew exactly what Alabama was going to do, and they started to do it. And did you see a reverse? Did you see a jet sweep with trying to get the defense out? Did you see anything out of let's try and toss sweep it or toss between the tackles? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No. And look, and I agree. Look, Billy Gamilla went on, and I read a lot of the stuff from the site last week, and Billy was right. You don't go completely away from what got you here. I agree with that. But you got and I'm with you. But you got to try to throw in some different wrinkles. There were no kind of different wrinkles.
There was
I didn't go
nothing
back.
Over the middle to even suck the linebackers back.
Yeah,
that was the other part of it. At least get the linebackers filtering back, respecting somebody coming over the middle. But there was not, because any receiver that ran a route was running a post or they were running an out route. There was nothing happening over the middle to make those linebackers back up. And all they were doing was closing the gap, besides the fact that our offensive line was getting blown away by their defensive line in the gap. So,
yeah,
it's like,
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And people who said maybe we should have opened it up and started throwing the ball more because that was working.
We
6-19 ain't working. He ain't had time to throw the freaking ball. We couldn't pass protect. We haven't really been able to pass protect all season. That's been an Achilles heel. This offensive line's been very, very good in run blocking. Pass protection's been an issue, and it was very evident Saturday. We just
the biggest part of the game that let us down was that offensive line. I'm just gonna call it out, and the offensive linemen called it out. If you heard a couple of them talk after the game, they said it. They just played like poo.
Yeah, I mean, special teams.
We knew we
kickoff return. Darius Geis barely had time to run anywhere. Alabama was at the 10-yard line.
One day we're going to get a new special teams coach. One day. Don't know when it may be, but it might happen one day.
It's just, oh my gosh, all phases
of the game. You know, we might have the same talent level, but they sure as heck outplayed us.
Oh, they weren't even close. Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Because you can't say we don't have comparable talent.
No, I think you're right about that.
We might be a little bit younger than them. I mean, but that's no excuse at this point in the season, in the sophomore years of most of these guys. That's no excuse. They just freaking outplayed us and outmanned us and outdid us.
It's all about game plans and being able to adjust to game plans. And when you throw something at Les Miles and he can't do what he wants to do, him and his coordinator on offense cannot adjust. And our lack of depth on defense was exposed. I mean, now granted, we gave up 210 yards rushing to Derrick Henry. Yeah, our defense was on the field for 40 freaking minutes. So,
they're going to get tired. He got chunks and chunks of yards in the second half. But
so,
one play that I thought would have worked that we really didn't do, Harris was under pressure. But you know what? When your quarterback's under, and watch Dak Prescott this week. I'm telling you, watch Dak Prescott against Alabama. What he's going to do is, instead of just trying to sit there and throw the ball, he's going to make up his mind right away, and he's going to take off for those five-yard runs. I think Harris ran the ball one time, maybe. Once out of – he
five
could
carries,
have dropped back.
Five, yeah.
And then there are several times. I watched it again several times. But, no, he decided to stay in that pocket and wait for a receiver. If he'd have taken off, he'd have loosened up that defense. I'm telling you, he'd have loosened it up. He really needed to carry the ball 10 times.
Now, do you think he would stay in a pocket? Because he's shown that he can break and make some plays with his feet.
But he didn't do it, which was – I was disappointing because he had an opportunity. I watched the film again. He had opportunities to do that and actually pick up some first downs doing it.
Was it deer in the headlights? Would they just
– I don't know.
I think they were hitting the mouth early and didn't know what to do. Now, granted, LSU showed some fight. They bounced back from a 10-0 first half deficit, tied the game at 10.
And I think that halftime field goal kind of let a little air out because you had momentum. That guy hits a 55-yarder. That kind of hurt, but you had the ball in the second half.
Well, and the first play was interception. So I
know, but I'm just saying you had the ball in the second half.
You had the ball to start the second half. So I felt okay. I thought we had started to do some things. They showed some fight. I said, okay, we get the ball to start the second half. And where we go, right to the sidelines, again with a throw. We don't throw the ball over the middle at all.
No, we had beat their secondary deep over the deep pattern over the middle, but it was deep. And that was his pass, and after that, we never saw it again.
No. So, it is what it is. And I'm not going to sit here and break down this play by play. There's no reason
to.
Not. Only things you need to know, they had 82 snaps to 47. Time of possession, it was 39 and some change to 20 minutes and some change. And we got whooped in the line of scrimmage on both sides. And that's that. Now, past years, we lay down
a silver lining
season.
Here.
There's a very good silver
lining. We can't do it. We're playing for New Year's Six. And you know what I did?
That's bullshit.
No,
wait a second. Alabama's got to go to Starkville this week. Let's not rule this out yet, okay?
I'm not saying we're out. There's a whole other perspective on this. If you think about it, and this is what calmed me down the next day, I went back to what we were all saying at the very beginning of the year about this team.
Yeah.
Go back to the very beginning of the year. What did everybody say? 8-3.
8-4.
Oh, 8-4, 9-3, things like that. So that is actually the one thing that calmed me down on that Sunday as I was heading to the other debacle of a game that was called the Saints. I was looking at it. I was thinking, you know what? This team wasn't supposed to – it was supposed to have two losses by this point at least.
Yeah.
Alabama was definitely supposed to be one of the losses. So the fact that we were that high this early on a quote-unquote rebuilding type of year, or getting ready for next year type of year – I kind of looked at it and said, you know what? Maybe we're not as bad as we think we are. We definitely got outcoached and outplayed, but learning experience. Let's see. The key for us now is, can we pick it up the rest of the season?
Got to bounce back. What kind of fight does this team have? Because
do we have any moxie whatsoever?
Because not only does Alabama have to travel to Starkville, who they're playing really good football, and you know, I don't know if Alabama goes. I don't know if Mississippi State pulls off an upset. I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
But, and it's not, depending on what shakes out these last 3 weeks of the season, it's not inconceivable that we, if we finish 10-1, that we don't sneak into the top four. Improbable, probably.
Well, no.
But not likely.
If we win out, we will be in the top four. You know why? Because we freaking play the SEC championship game. We would have had to beat Florida twice. We'd have beat Arkansas.
That's assuming Alabama loses Saturday.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Assuming Alabama loses.
Okay. All right.
If Alabama loses, I'm telling you, we're top four again if we win out.
Oh, yeah. If Alabama loses and we win out and we beat Florida again, yeah, we're in top four. There's no doubt about it. I'm talking about a scenario where Alabama wins out and we win out, and our only loss is to a potential one or number two Alabama. Come on.
Oh, I mean, I know.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to worry about that shit right now because, like you said, Fat, and I started thinking about that too. Like you said, what our predictions were to begin the season, but this is our Achilles heel, is our bounce back game after the Alabama game, and what kind of fight, you know, to quote Mankind here, what kind of testicular fortitude does this football team have right now? And it all starts out with leaders, Fournette, Harris. Defensively, our guys there.
No, Vidal Alexander on a freaking offensive line. I like what some of the comments coming out of some of these guys. They took ownership to this.
Help me out, because I have not. When
did he put it out? And Podcast could probably help us out with the exact quotes. But I was reading something, you know, about, well, obviously you read all their tweets. And so, see, I do get on Twitter. So you do read some of the tweets and things like that, how, you know, hey, we just got whipped. We've got to play better. It was our fault that Fournette didn't get the yards. He didn't have anywhere to go. You know, they were hitting him 2 yards in the backfield. The whole works. And they came straight out and said it. Said, you know what? This ain't on Fournette. You can't run the ball if you got four people on you every time past the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So I'm pleased that the offensive line took heed to that. I'm hoping that they come out against Arkansas just like bats out of hell, hair on fire, saying this will not happen to us again. We're going to show what we're made of. And our boy is going to get a Heisman Trophy because we're going to make sure of that.
Well, let's hope so. And you know, because we can't fall into that same trap that we've fallen into. We've got – now, last year, not really much to play for after that. After they lost Alabama.
No.
We still got a lot to play for, and they need to realize that. And hopefully, by what you're saying, some of the comments, I didn't read any of them because I haven't, like I said, when LSU loses, I tune everything out. I don't want to hear any national criticism because it's the whole build you up just to tear you down aspect, and that's kind of what they've been doing, I'm sure. I don't really have to turn it on to really know what they're saying about LSU now, and I'm sure probably 60-70% of these freaking people probably going to pick us to lose Saturday. And I can't say I blame them, but, you know, it's time for LSU to kind of show what they're made of and lay a good old-fashioned ass-whooping on Arkansas on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to tell us. We'll find out in the first, you know, in the first 10 minutes.
First couple drives.
Yep,
first couple
exactly.
drives.
Because yeah. I got a feeling we're going to come out there, and we're not going to try and throw that ball. We're going to try and run it between those tackles again, and we're going to see what happens against Arkansas.
There you go. I agree.
You know.
I agree, Mr. Moore. So let's talk about Arkansas briefly. We're going to bring on in a little bit Mr. Doc Harper. He is from ArkansasFight.com, SB Nation site for the Razorbacks. But before we do that, Patrick and I will talk briefly about Arkansas a little bit. We know what Arkansas does. They run the football well. They have a nice – actually, they have a very nice run-pass mix, actually. Where they're throwing the ball for – I think 280 a game. They're running it for a shade under 200. I think something like 192, 193. So very good balance. I'm sure a lot of that's a little bit aided by the fact that Jonathan Williams, is that his name, the guy that got hurt beginning of the year?
I know last name's Williams. I think it's
Jonathan Williams. He was actually the first guy to Alex. It was him and Alex Collins. Alex Collins has over 1,000 yards rushing. They don't really have anybody else even remotely close, and neither does LSU. Fournette's got around 1,400. I think the next person's probably at 300. So, about this, you know, you're looking at about the same as far as their main guy versus LSU's main guy in Fournette. But throwing the football, definitely head and shoulders above what we are. They throw the ball more, for one. Brandon Allen has shown to be a very comparable leader, can make some plays, and that's something LSU, again, you know, it's the same song and dance every week. Can LSU limit those big plays? And can LSU needs to win the line of scrimmage on Saturday on both sides of the football. Everything they didn't do this past Saturday, they need to do on Saturday against Arkansas, more or less.
What else can you say? We just do, it's like ADTO, and do the opposite of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very simple game. When you get into the heart of when you get to the media schedule this time in November, you know, try to overcome your injuries. Now, we lost John David Moore for the season. He hurt the same knee. So we got to have Mouton, the other fullback, to step in.
Oh yeah. Well, he's a freshman too, so you know he's got to step it up.
Yeah. So we'll get some guys some experience. They need to do some things. If that's not working, guess what? If the I formation is not working with that fullback, maybe you need to start spreading them out less. You know, if you need to run a ball out of a spread, and you're not getting good lead blocks out of the I formation, adjust to it. Please adjust to it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, as far as that, you know, limit your turnovers. You know, same old song and dance. Got to limit big plays by Arkansas. You've got to limit Brandon Allen, force him into some mistakes. LSU, one of their things is just not being create turnovers. Been able to get to the quarterback a little bit. And I think we got to Jay Coker a little bit on Saturday. You got to generate a pass rush. Make it, you know, and what's your front four, you know?
Yeah, you can't use the linebackers to do it, because linebackers have a hard enough time covering backs, seeing what's going on in the field, filling gaps, things like that. The front four has got to, if not even get the pass rush, at least break even. You know, on running plays, they can't be knocked off the ball. They have to hold their own. On the pass plays, they have to at least make him step to the side one way or the other. Just can't let a perfect pocket form and get pushed off, you know, 15 yards behind a quarterback. Just can't happen.
And what I like to see LSU do to kind of neutralize that strong offensive line is try to get creative with some run blitzes, things like that, to, you know, some stunts, things like that, to kind of throw off that offensive line a little bit, because they're a downfield running team, and LSU is, you know, they don't have the stout defensive line they used to have. Now, we've gotten better with Ogeron in there now, and a couple more years of recruiting and Chavis's lack of recruiting talent on that front seven.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get some guys in here and start to develop something here in the next couple of years to kind of get that working, because this team's got some good pieces right now, and very young team. And again, 7-1 is far better than what I've imagined at this point. But we all knew, you know, probably one or two losses coming into November. We happen to be undefeated, and now let's see how we close out November. Can we finish undefeated the rest of the season? Very possible. I mean, Arkansas at home. You get two of the next three at home. The game at Ole Miss scares me, because it's always the away games always scare me. But Ole Miss is, you know,
there's a formula for beating Ole Miss now.
Yeah. So, which unfortunately we don't do a lot of, which is throwing a football. So,
well, in a way, but we'll talk about that when we get to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's coming up next week. But you know, this is more or less, how does LSU bounce back? How does LSU respond? You know, this isn't about X's and O's. This is about leadership. This is about moxie. This is about, you know, wanting to.
It's about being a man, because I'm a man.
Yeah, this is about reproving yourself. All right, Doc's joining us from ArkansasFight.com. As I mentioned, it's SB Nation site for the Arkansas Razorbacks. helping us to break down the games on Saturday between the Razorbacks and LSU. We are, what, a 6:10 kickoff on one of those ESPN networks. I don't know which one yet.
I think it's a regular ESPN this week.
Is it all regular ESPN networks? That's cool. So Arkansas, after a rough start, kind of bounced back, thrilling victory over Ole Miss. You didn't need 16 overtimes to beat Ole Miss this go round. It was just one, but some kahunas by Mr. Brett Bielema there going for two in that situation. So got to be pretty pumped up about that. I mean, so you still at this point now fighting for bowl position and a bowl berth. So with the expectations coming in, Doc, and the way the season kind of started out to where you're all now, and I know you had the injury to the running back before the season started, but you know, where y'all at as a fan base, as a program? I mean, I know it's got to be kind of disappointing, but y'all seem to be able to finish November strong. That was Bielema's thing last year, and y'all were off to a good start, you know, finishing November strong this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now everybody seems really excited. There's a lot of positivity and optimism around the program right now coming off the Ole Miss game. You know, I don't know how people are going to feel about the season after it's over when they look back on the whole thing. I've never really kind of seen a season like this where you have such a disappointing couple of losses at the beginning, and then you have games that, you know, again, like, people are going to be talking about the four overtime game against Auburn for a long time. People are going to be talking about the Ole Miss game for a long time. Those are things that the kinds of games that stick out, you know, for sure, because of how close they were, how exciting they were, how difficult it's been for Bielema to get any SEC wins since he came to Fayetteville. But right now, today, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of optimism.
Well, y'all have to be a little bit tired after play. Y'all basically played three games in the last two, so hopefully y'all worn down a little bit before y'all enter Tiger Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, and likewise, that's been kind of the hope. Is, you know, we get you guys right after y'all play Alabama, and then next week we get Mississippi State right after they play Alabama. So we kind of feel the same way.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be too crazy because LSU never really was in Tuscaloosa. So
we didn't show up.
We've actually had 2 weeks to 3 weeks to prepare for Arkansas now. So we're good to go. We're not letting 17-0 happen again this time. Damn it.
I don't think anybody's expecting to go to Tiger Stadium for a night game and shut anybody out. I don't think that'll happen.
No, and I think, you know, what is the feeling? I wanted to ask this question. I'm glad you were on tonight. Is now that we're not playing that game at the end of the year and it's not, quote-unquote, a rivalry game anymore, you know, is there any different feeling in Arkansas as playing LSU now?
No, I think it's pretty similar. They're, you know, I know LSU fans never really looked at the Arkansas game as a real rivalry game. In Arkansas, it depends on who you ask. There are some people who really bought into it, and they look at LSU as, you know, since Arkansas doesn't have a traditional big rival in the SEC, they looked at that and they just kind of bought into that being that game. Not everybody. I don't even know if it's the majority of fans, but they're definitely out there. So they still get really excited. I mean, a lot of the fans, they haven't gotten excited about playing Missouri at the end of the year yet. So there's still a lot of...
I can see where that would be hard to get excited about.
Yeah. there's still a lot of excitement for this game, for sure.
Well, you know, traditionally, we've had some very good games. I mean, our games, right, those end-of-the-season games. Now, last year, y'all just straight up whooped us, just like Alabama did last week. Hopefully, we don't see a repeat of that, but... But, man, maybe that's what I'm hoping for LSU, that they can regroup, look at last year's game and says we can't let that happen again.
Right. And, you know, obviously, you know, Leonard Fournette's a whole different monster this year than he was, you know, at this point last year. And he definitely has everybody's attention. And I don't remember exactly what his stats were in Fayetteville last year, but they weren't very good. But I don't think that'll happen again.
Probably pretty comparable to what they were last Saturday.
Yeah.
So as far as
your running back goes, I mean, y'all, we know Collins, you know, obviously he saved the day for y'all last game. But, you know, what is y'all backup situation like? I know he's your main threat, but, you know, do you have that 1-2 punch like y'all traditionally had in the past?
Our other big running back is Cody Walker. He sat out most of the first half of the season with a broken hand, so he's relatively fresh for this point in the year. He's definitely not as good as Alex Collins or Jonathan Williams, but he's a big guy. He's a fifth-year junior, I think is how it technically is. But he's a real big guy. He's a bruising running back, and he can, you know, be that kind of guy who can try to wear down teams over the course of a game. I think he had something about 15 carries against Ole Miss, and you know, he scored one touchdown on a play where he trucked some poor Rebel defender, number 31. I don't know his name, but just ran right over him. And
well, that's always a fun thing to do, though.
Yeah. You know. It was really great. He's a big guy. He's like 250-something pounds. Doesn't have elite speed or agility or anything like that, but he can play.
Load to tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, everybody knows Arkansas's MO is running the football, and y'all had the 1-2 punch, and y'all had with Jonathan Williams going down. Alex Collins kind of shouldering most of that load now, but I don't think people really give Brandon Allen enough credit. I mean, you look at his stats, he's got 65% completion percentage, 21 touchdowns, five INTs. I'm not upset with LSU's quarterback situation play this year. It's actually been very, very well for as much as we do actually pass the ball, but he complements, I think, the running game very well. And y'all do a nice mix of run the pass than more people probably realize.
Yeah, these last few games, ever since we played Alabama, he's been really, really strong. Even before in the first half of the season, pretty much every game other than Alabama, he put up good numbers. The knock on him was that he couldn't close out games in the fourth quarter. He would, you know, Arkansas has been well documented, has played a ton of close games over the last few years. He's a third year starter. And until this year, he had not won a game that was a single possession game at the end. And he's had opportunities, but he would get sacked. He fumbled against A&M. He overthrew players. He underthrew players. And it just never worked out. And then, really, it was that Auburn game with all those overtimes. He broke through and made some really great plays in those overtimes, a couple of key two-point conversions to keep the game going. And so right now, I mean, his confidence is sky high. He just played the game of his life last week. He broke Arkansas's single-game touchdown record with 6 touchdowns and had 440-something passing yards. And, you know, it helps that the receivers have really come along. Jared Cornelius, who had his arm broken pretty bad against Texas Tech, just came back. And Dominique Reeves, a JUCO transfer, who's like 6'3 and runs a 4.3. And he's really starting to been developing in the playbook and had 7 catches against Ole Miss and a couple of touchdowns. So he's really got some great weapons this year for really the first time in his career.
You touched on them briefly, but who are some of the go-to guys you kind of touched on?
In the passing
game, I'm sorry.
The top receiver's been Drew Morgan. He's really come along out of nowhere this year. He had 9 catches against Ole Miss and 3 touchdowns. He's got 9 touchdowns on the year, leads the SEC. Dominique Reeves, the other one I was mentioning, has really started to come along these last couple weeks. And also Arkansas has a really great pair of tight ends. Hunter Henry is a good NFL prospect at tight end. And also Jeremy Sprinkle, they'll both be involved in the passing game quite a bit.
Very well. And defensively, what do y'all think? I mean, obviously, gonna do what y'all can do to stop Fournette. Front 7, not the caliber what Alabama's is, but I gotta think they kind of possibly lend a blueprint a little bit as far as what to do. And but I just don't think LSU's game plan was all that spectacular on Saturday night, and that's something Pat and I have touched on already tonight. So, coming into Tiger Stadium, what do you think's, you know, the most important thing? Is it letting Fournette do what he does and then try to limit Brandon Harris as far as making plays with his arms and his feet? Or is it just trying to stop Fournette and forcing Brandon Harris to make plays?
Well, it's an interesting question because Arkansas's defense the last few games has been really bad. There's no real way around it. Auburn dropped a lot of passes that they should have caught, and they probably would have won that game if they hadn't. But before that, when Arkansas played Tennessee and Alabama, they really did a good job of stopping the run. They held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards. And against Tennessee, Jalen Hurd was really a non-factor. But these last few games against the spread type of teams, they've really gashed us. And even Tennessee Martin gashed Arkansas's defense. You kind of chalk that up to hopefully the team just wasn't playing that hard. But I think that's going to be one of the real interesting things. Now that Arkansas is going back to playing a team that is more of the, you know, traditional pro-style football that's similar to what Arkansas likes to play. I'm real interested to see what they do trying to slow down Fournette in the running game, and if it is very similar to how they approached the Alabama game. And because, like I said, they were pretty effective. Henry, like I said, at 95 yards on 27 carries, which is really pretty good. So
that's not bad. Pat, that's something to watch out for, because you know we don't really adjust to shit. So.
But it's also tough because Arkansas really only has two linebackers worth talking about. We're really, really thin at linebacker. So we'll see what happens. It's definitely been a topic of discussion up here, just being freaked out about the defense lately. And, you know, tackling hasn't been very good. So we'll see if they are able to get something together.
I got you. So the season shapes out. You're at LSU, and you got two home games to close out the season. Still, you know, as we talked about at the top of our conversation about closing out strong, which is something y'all did a year ago, and it was reversed. Last year it was LSU, then y'all played Ole Miss. This year y'all played Ole Miss. Now y'all playing LSU. Y'all shut out both of those teams last year, a year ago. But in a similar fashion, y'all can come out strong and finish the season in a manner in which I did a year ago, and that's got to bode pretty well. It's got to give you a little bit of a vote of confidence. I don't know what the feeling is about Bielema to this point amongst Arkansas fans, but I got to think finishing the season, it definitely finishes the season 8-4 would definitely bode well. But if y'all just go ahead and y'all win two of the next three, is that still that's satisfactory by Arkansas standards? Or were y'all?
It's hard to say. It probably depends on if one of those games is Missouri. If you count on that as one of the wins, I think people will be okay, because then at least you won your last game. But, obviously we didn't shut out Ole Miss this year. We allowed 52 points. So, like I said, I don't think we're going to – there's anybody's thinking we're going to shut out LSU either.
Right.
But it's – And, you know, right now, like I said, everybody's positive about the program. I think in September when Arkansas started out 1-4, there were a lot of people really questioning whether Bielema was going to have any success here. And he started to turn that around, and right now people are happy. So, and there's,
okay.
And also his contract buyout is really ridiculous. It's over $15 million for Arkansas to fire him for the next couple of years. So there's really not much point in talking about firing him.
Yeah, I hear you. We've had that conversation many a times with Les Miles in the past. So something ridiculous. It was around that at one point. It may have shrunk now. It's been a few years now, but at one point it was in that $15-18 million range, if I'm not mistaken. This is a game where traditionally, coming off a loss to Alabama, LSU has not played well in it, whether it be against Arkansas a year ago, a couple years ago. I can't remember who we played after the 2013 game against Alabama. But, this is something LSU needs to needs to watch out for. Arkansas is definitely not. Arkansas doesn't quit. That's one thing I can say about y'all. As bad as the season started out for y'all, y'all showed a lot of fight. Y'all, I mean, coming back now, it's 5-4, and
yeah,
you know, winning, you know, and then winning close games. You're winning tough games against Auburn, you know, Ole Miss. LSU needs to be very, very careful on Saturday. That's for sure. I don't think anybody in their right mind in that program right now should be taking Arkansas lightly based on what y'all have done to this point this season. So, are you a prediction guy? You want to give us a prediction before you file out, or just not? You don't have to say score, but just you can give us a quick little key to victory if you want to.
Well, after last week, you know, it's just really hard to bet against Arkansas right now. I think, you know, if the defense is able to, you know, come back together and slow down Fournette, similar to how they slowed down Henry, then I think it's really good for Arkansas. But if Henry's able to run wild, or Fournette's able to run wild, then, you know, it's real scary. I mean, this series, like you said, there have been so many close games over the years. It's just, you never really know what to expect. This isn't a young team, but at the same time, you know, Arkansas, because they've always played that Friday game after Thanksgiving, nobody on this team has played a night game in Tiger Stadium. They have obviously played in some big stadiums, but they haven't had that special environment y'all had down there. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Man, I don't know whatever is going to happen in this series. I give up trying to predict that a long time ago.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it all boils down to how motivated LSU comes out, which they still have a lot to play for, and versus how effective Arkansas can be, especially with, you know, LSU got knocked in the mouth pretty good by a strong running game and a strong offensive line, something that Arkansas had as well, and I think probably a little bit better of a passing game with Brandon Allen. So, and LSU susceptible to giving up plays, you know, down the field, susceptible to get worn down defensively, as we saw. Well, when you get out snap 82-47, that's bound to happen. So that's something LSU's got to limit. LSU could not get out. You know, time of possession was twice. Snaps were, you know.
Yeah.
That's.
I think that is
pretty much self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think that is one thing. You know, like, I think Fournette would get, like, you know, 300 carries and, you know, just really get beat down throughout the game. But having only 19 was really kind of disappointing. But that being said, I mean, the defense was on the field for pretty much the whole game. So we'll see if there's any carryover on that side of the ball.
So, yeah, so you're getting them fresh and pissed off. There you go. So hopefully it works out for us. I don't know. But, hey, Doc, best of luck to y'all on Saturday. And we appreciate you joining us. That's Doc Harper from ArkansasFight.com, the site, and you personally on Twitter, if you want to plug that real quick. Fans find you?
It's at Arkansas Fight. It's just like the name of the site, and I'm at @doc_Harper.
All right, Doc. Thanks again for joining us. And
thanks for having me.
See you. No problem. And we will catch up back with you another time, possibly. Take care.
All right, later, guys.
All righty. Let's do some picks.
All right. Yeah, let's do the picks. We have about 5 minutes.
And we'll predict this game. ATVS Go Show Pick'em. Compete. We are picking games against the spread, 11-13 every week. And you can compete for weekly prizes. So if you have not signed up yet, go ahead and sign up if you're listening to us for the first time. It's fun. It's all for shits and giggles. And we have fun with it. And we pretend to be prognosticators like those. We do just as good as those national pundits do, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. So put out now.
I just want to step in here before we make any picks for an update on the Pick'em contest this year.
Oh,
it's much closer this late in the year than it has ever been. Currently, 7 points separate first from 20th.
Wow.
So, literally, there's about 15 folks tied at 20th place right now. So there's a good half of the pool who is still within striking distance of winning this thing.
Okay.
Oh.
You heard it there, fellas. So that motivates you to join.
Hey, don't expect
your
prize
the whole
though.
Year.
Right, well, Kerry?
Not if, Not if you work for not if you
we're not eligible.
Not if you quote unquote are employees of the site. I like to use the term indentured servants.
Well, I tell you what, Kerry, since you got a problem with it, if either you or Pat somehow manages to win the pool this year, I will make sure you get this ugly ass sweater we are giving away for the prize.
Dude, I figure I get me enough prizes when I take a koozie, when I take an ATVS koozie from you every week. So
you're right. You're right.
I'm good. I'm good. All right. Let's see. Let's go Big 12, Patrick. Baylor, you know, going to actually host in Oklahoma. They are, let's see, Baylor is 3.5-point favorites against Boomasuna. Bob Stoops in the Boomasunas, Patrick.
At Baylor at home, I'm still going to have to go Baylor. I hate to say it, but I don't think Oklahoma's going to. Everybody's talking Oklahoma, but nah, Baylor's going to win this and cover.
Well, they want to prove themselves. This is the game they got to do it against teams like this because they continue to get slighted in the college football playoff. They just got jumped by Iowa tonight. So, talking about testicular fortitude, they got this game at home against a top 15 team in Oklahoma. You got to take care of business. For that reason, I'm picking Baylor, even though secretly I hope they lose. Because it helps LSU, but I gotta pick with my head, not with my heart. I go Baylor for the cover and the win, obviously. Here's an interesting one, Patrick. We'll go out of the Power Five conference for a second, and we'll go to podcast. Help me out. Is Memphis and Houston both in the AC?
Yep.
Yes, they are both in the AC.
The AC. Memphis taking on Houston in Houston. Houston's still on the day. Memphis, as I predicted, lost to Navy last week. I don't know if I said Navy would actually win that game. I said Navy would definitely cover. I just didn't think Memphis was ready to handle that triple option. But anyway, Houston is giving 6.5 at home to Memphis. Here is where the next non-Power 5
falls.
Falls. I think Memphis goes into Houston and wins.
Totally agree. I have no argument whatsoever there.
So, I have no reasoning behind it other than the fact that I like that big-ass quarterback, and I think he makes some plays against Houston that he wasn't able to do against Navy. So
there you go.
Here we go. Okay, Kentucky and Vanderbilt. No, I'm just kidding. where are we at? My goodness gracious. Okay, let's just go SEC games the rest of the way.
All right.
Oldest rivalry in the South. Let's go with that one. Georgia, Auburn. Once again, a team of, how did I say it last week? Teams that were at the beginning of the season that are not anymore. Georgia 6-3. Actually came back and kind of surprised me with a big one over Kentucky. I thought Kentucky would cover that spread. But they are traveling to Jordan-Hare and actually getting 1.5, Patrick.
You know what? I'm going to take Auburn in this game just because I want the SEC West to be that much stronger, you know, and our win against Auburn to be that much stronger. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to just come on, Tigers, just because they're not playing you.
There you go. Well, there's a lot of, you know, some stuff going on behind the scenes at Georgia from over here. But playing a team like Kentucky kind of helps you out for a week. Let's see what happens when you go and you play a bitter rival like Auburn, who's been licking their wounds, coming off a tough loss. Patrick, I want to lean there with you, and I think I will. I'm going to go Auburn. Might be picking this with my heart a little bit, but like that. But 1.5. Something tells me this is the beginning of the end. If Georgia loses this game, Mark Rick.
He may be gone before the end of the season.
So, well, I don't think so, but I think he's definitely gone if they lose this game at the end of the season. So I'm going Auburn to cover and win. Let's go. Guess we'll go Florida, South Carolina. I can't believe that. No, I'm not talking about that one. Alabama, Mississippi State. Obviously, we'll talk about that one. Mississippi State in Starkville. Dak Prescott playing very good football. Lost to us beginning of the season. Lost to A&M a couple weeks after that. But since then, man, been playing some really good football. They get their chance against the mighty Crimson Tide. They too had a no. They didn't have a bye week. They're playing them. They played last week, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They did. Okay. So they are getting 7.5 in Starkville. I don't know what they win. I'm taking Mississippi State to cover these points, and I'm probably picking with my heart here, but I think with Dak, they can do enough stuff to cover that 7.5.
I think so. He's given them fits in the past, you know, so I think he's got the formula. He's not going to be intimidated by Alabama. We know that. It's just a matter of whether he can find somebody to come along with him and make a big play, receiver-wise or something like that on the outside. So I'll go with you here. I'm going to go with Mississippi State to cover because it's a home game and everything else, and Alabama coming off of our game.
All right, very good. All right, that leaves us. That leaves LSU in Arkansas. We are 8.5-point favorites, Patrick Morris.
Wow.
We're 8.5-point favorites. I see this one as a close game, Morris. I do. I'll take Arkansas to cover. I think LSU wins this one by a touchdown or less. And that can all change if LSU comes out balls of fire in the first 10 minutes. But I think LSU will come out sluggish. But I think they will respond eventually in this game and do enough things to win this game, although it's going to be – I don't know if it'll be ugly. It might be entertaining. I don't know if it'll be ugly, but it'll be closer than 8.5. So I like LSU. Throw a score out there. I'll say 34-28.
And see, obviously I do like LSU in this game, but the more that I am kind of delving into some of the player reactions from last game and some of the I can't wait to get back out on the field and prove we're not that team. You know, I hadn't really heard Miles speak about it, but you know, like I said, I'm going to lay my hopes that we're going to cover the spread and the fact that we're not going to pull what we've done in the last couple of years, that we're going to show that, hey, we're ready to take that next level and get past that game that gave us the problem. And let's show that we are a top six team in the country, you know. So I'm going to take us to cover, and I'm going to say final score somewhere in the neighborhood of 32-20.
All righty. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Me and Patrick Morris breaking it down as only we can on the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, continue to like us on Facebook. I got to give props, dude. We're getting more and more likes every week. And
what are we up to?
Like 225 likes. We've hit since the season started. We've hit like 30 new likes this season. We're getting and people.
Hey,
are doing
we did
a great
say
job.
We were trying for 5 a week.
And we're hitting that goal. We are hitting that goal. So, awesome. Great job to all you. I hope y'all continue to listen. I hope y'all really enjoy the show. Again, home game this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. If you're out there, sidewalk, Tower Drive, Coates Hall, Anna Valley Shook banner, Team Cat banner. If I remember to go buy some zip ties this week, it'll be out there. We'll be drinking. We'll be eating gumbo. We'll be playing drinking games. We'll be doing all that stuff. Podcast will be in the corner on his computer or his phone, one or the other. And yep. I might even take a few minutes to watch Alabama-Mississippi State by a neighboring TV. But doubt it, because I get too wrapped up in the tailgating sometimes. I hope a good time was had by y'all on Saturday at my house. I hope I did a nice job hosting my first football game, although the result was not, you know, what we wanted.
Yeah, and I left at halftime.
Y'all are speechless. I know you did. That's okay. I can't say I blame you. The rain, everything like that, you know.
Well, no. It was just that, you know, how you get like that, too, during the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, dude. Ain't no big deal. No big deal. So, for podcast behind the scenes, Patrick Morris, who is – doesn't sound like he's on the road anymore. It sounds like you are cozy in your driveway or actually in your house by now.
In the driveway.
I'm Kerry Munch. Remember, like us on Facebook. At Valley Shook, at Go Show Carry, at Patrick Morris. Redemption Week, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take care of business. I have faith. We're going to beat the freaking fighting spirit finger waving Woo Pig Suey bastards. Hashtag Woo Pig Suey, hashtag spirit fingers, hashtag beat the pigs. Go Tigers. We're done. Good night.